Our first scripture reading is from Psalm 113, verses 1 through 9. Praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high? Who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of the children. Praise the Lord.
And today's gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he, Jesus, told them a parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let us pray. O good and gracious God, may our thoughts of our hearts and our minds be pleasing unto you. May your word be heard and then lived. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today's passage contains two of three parables in Luke 15 about things that are lost. You have the lost sheep and the lost coin, and then the one that you guys may know as the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the lost sons. And so as I read this passage today, I thought about exactly what Anna was saying. What does it mean to be lost? Well, Dan can tell you that when we were first married, I was frequently physically lost. Because I am what you might call directionally challenged. We have lived in Hamlet for 6 or 7 years now, and honestly, I still don't remember the names of all the roads that are right around us. And he'll say, "I walked the dog down to Bowersfield," and I'll go, "Okay." And he just laughs. He'll try to give me directions. He'll say, "Turn north at the light." And I really try hard not to roll my eyes and make a face, because I know that he knows all the time which way is north. But I never do. Never. So you can imagine how happy I was when smartphones were developed. For my favorite thing about my smartphone is my GPS. There's maps, there's Google Maps, and now I even have Waze. I'm never lost. I just open up and tell my good friend Waze where I want to go, and she takes me there, and she gives me sweet directions. She doesn't roll her eyes at me. She's just wonderful. But as you might guess, these stories have a little bit deeper meaning than just being lost as meaning that you don't know where you are or don't know how to get to a destination. So again, it begs the question, what does it mean to be lost? So many of us may immediately think of the line from Amazing Grace, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." These words of assurance, beautiful music, known by so many people, so meaningful to so many people. And if you don't know it, there's actually a very powerful story behind the writing of the words. But as I was reading and studying this week, I came across an article by Debbie Thomas, who is someone that Jim has often referred to. As a matter of fact, it's in a book that Jim gave to me. She's an Episcopal priest, a theologian, an author. And as she considers this question, what does it mean to be lost? She writes that her faith journey has not been a neat before and after story like those words. I once was lost, and now I'm found. She writes, the truth is, my lostness is not over. My lostness remains a central feature of my relationship with God. And I have to think that since Jesus told not one story of lostness, but three, that perhaps Jesus agrees. Perhaps he wants us to know that it's not one and done, lost and found, never to be lost again. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells us these two parables about lost things. And as we always do, first we should consider the context. Who is Jesus talking to? What has prompted him to tell these stories? Well, Jesus has been teaching, and as usual, there's a large crowd around him. And we are told specifically that all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. But we are also told that within this same crowd, there are the Pharisees and the tax collectors, the scribes, the sinners, all of them together. The Pharisees and the scribes begin kind of mumbling, grumbling, murmuring to each other, saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Understanding that eating with a person was very important in their culture. Well, we don't know how Jesus knows that they are around there grumbling, whether he hears them or whether he just knows. But Jesus turns and he tells them these three parables. These three parables about lost things. In the first one, Jesus asks them, specifically to them, he says, which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Well, honestly, the Pharisees probably thought to themselves, none of us would do that. We would at least get the 99 into the sheep pen before going out. We wouldn't leave them in the wilderness where they are at danger also of being lost. And even then, we would consider the cost of leaving 99 sheep unprotected while we hunt for the lost one. And one out of 100, we probably would just cut our losses. And then Jesus tells them what happens when the lost sheep is found. The shepherd lays it on his shoulders and rejoices and throws a party when he gets home, because the sheep has been found. And then Jesus immediately goes on to tell a second story. A woman has 10 silver coins, and when she loses one of them, she lights a lamp, she sweeps, she cleans, she searches until she finds it. So far, this probably makes more sense to the Pharisees. After all, this is 10% of her worth, not just 1%. And she's just cleaning, not putting the other in danger. Until Jesus goes on with this story and he says, when she finds it, she invites all of her neighbors over and she also throws a party. So she probably spends the silver coin in rejoicing. You know, as I have studied this passage this week, I keep coming back to the question, what does it mean to be lost? And there was something on Thursday that struck me. The sheep was originally part of the flock of 100. and somehow was not with the 99 anymore. The coin was originally part of the 10 coins and was somehow not with the other 9 coins. And what struck me was that for many years I may have been misreading these parables. For a long time, I thought that the lost sheep, the lost lamb, and the lost coin represented people like the tax collectors and sinners that Jesus was eating with, people who were outside of the flock and family that I call Christianity. But the lamb belongs to the shepherd already. The lost coin belongs to the woman already. In other words, these parables are not simply about outsiders finding salvation and becoming Christian, somebody who doesn't believe, repenting and believing, being once lost and now found. No, these parables are about us. Perhaps we think that this parable is about the lost sinners because the Pharisees had just been grumbling about Jesus eating with them. But perhaps these stories are aimed at all of Jesus' audience, at the tax collectors, at the sinners, but also at the Pharisees and the religious leaders. As a matter of fact, as I kept searching for meaning, I realized that the word for sinners here in Greek is amartelos. This word is distinctively used in the New Testament to mean not free from sin. And it is the same word found throughout the New Testament, but particularly in Romans 5:8, when we read, God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still amartelos, not free from sin, while we were still human, for we all are sinful. So perhaps these stories are not a once and done, a lost and found, not just for those outside the faith family. Perhaps they are words for all of us, for the times that we find ourselves lost. Remember how I thought the GPS would keep me from ever being lost? Well, she knows this story, I bet. A few years later, I was taking the kids to a birthday party at a YMCA in a new town we just moved to. So I faithfully put the address in my phone, and I followed the directions that were provided, and I found myself in the middle of a fairly run-down residential neighborhood. Waze happily told me, "You have reached your destination." And I thought, "I don't think so." I knew the truth. I was lost. Perhaps these parables are about us who are lost over and over, and about God who seeks us over and over. So what does it mean to be lost? More than just physically not knowing our place. It could mean that we have lost our sense of belonging. We may have lost our belief in our faith. We may have lost our capacity to trust, to hope, to love. We may feel numb to the presence of God. We may have lost our desire to grow our faith. We may have lost the ability to feel God's peace, or God's presence, or God's love. Some of us get lost when illness descends on our lives and God's goodness starts to look not so good. Some of us get lost when death comes to someone that we love and we're lost in the pain, and we may experience a crisis of faith. Some of us get lost when relationships fail, or when jobs are lost, or when we face addiction or anxiety or unforgiveness or hatred or any number of things that can take us from the presence of God. Sometimes we even get lost in the humdrumness of life, where things never seem new or exciting. But we get lost. Sometimes we get so lost that the good shepherd has to leave the 99 to wander through the wilderness where we find ourselves so that he can find us and bring us home. We get so lost that the woman has to light the lamp, pick up the broom, and clean like crazy until we are found. These actions are not trivial. The shepherd doesn't open up the door and peek out and pretend to look. The woman doesn't, like I sometimes do, pretend to clean. No, they search diligently, actively, persistently, relentlessly, recklessly. God wanders over hills and through valleys looking for lost sheep. God turns her house inside out looking for the lost coin. And God finds them. And do you know what God does? God is not upset that God had to search. God is not upset that God had to waste energy cleaning or to leave the others. No, God rejoices. God is so filled with joy that even the angels join in the party. It's not a surprise that we get lost. We are humans, amartelos, not free from sin. Maybe the surprise is what these stories show us about God. God's love for us is so strong that God leaves the 99 to find us when we are lost. God's grace is so amazing that God finds us when we are lost every time. When we are lost, not if, when we are lost, God searches and finds us. We don't do anything to deserve to be found any more than the coin did anything to deserve to be found. These parables teach us about our God, who is relentless, who is reckless in these search and rescue missions. Our God who will not rest until we are found. 2 years ago at the Montreat Youth Conference, I had one of those moments when I knew that God had found me and was wrapping his arms around me to put me on his shoulders to make sure I was safe and at home. We were in one of our evening worship services, and at the end of a very powerful worship service, in the middle of a week that had been filled with love and laughter, in a place where you can feel God's presence close at hand. Our final song was Reckless Love. As 500 youth sang these words with all of their hearts, my heart was filled with joy, and I felt God finding me there in that place. They sang loud and full, "Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God." Friends, God loves us so much that God searches for us with reckless love whenever we are lost. Reckless because it doesn't make sense in our world, in our economy, to leave the 99 in the wilderness in search of one. To waste so much time and energy for one coin, and then to throw a block party that uses up that very coin. But God's grace does not always make sense to us, because God's grace is offered freely, it is more than we can ever understand. God does not count the cost, even to the cost of his very Son on the cross. God's grace reaches out to us, amartelos, not free from sin. We don't do anything to deserve it. And when God finds us, there is great rejoicing in heaven. Friends, this is amazing grace.